Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Sports City. 6 years and a day. That's right, Sports City. That's what's going on. Welcome to the post 6 year anniversary show. It's your boy TP Thomas. I'm happy to say that this is the 6 year and a day pushing through. Welcome to the Monday Night Sports Wrap Up. We got a lot of stuff to jump into. Tom Brady and the Patriots looking human, and somebody in the NFL looking immortal. They call him Super Cam. But I took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside, the kitchen timeless is alive.
One, two. Check me out right here, yo.
Yo, the sun don't shine forever, but as long as it's here, then we might as well shine together. Better now than never, business before pleasure. P. Diddy and the fam, who you know do it better. Yeah, right, no matter what, we airtight. So when you hear something, make sure you hear it right. Don't make an ass out of yourself by assuming our music keeps you moving. What are you shooting? You know that I'm two levels above you, baby. Talk me, baby, I'ma make you love me, baby. Talking crazy ain't gonna get you nothing but choke. And that jealousy is only gonna leave you broke. So the only thing left now is God for these cats. And babe, you know you're too hard for these cats. I'ma win cause I'm too smart for these cats. While they making up facts,
in the commission, you ask for permission to hit him. He don't like me, him and wild wife, he was with him. You heard of us, the murderer, smooth shady. Been on the low lately, the feds hate me. The son of me, they say my killing's too blatant. You hesitating, I'm in your mama crib waiting. Duct taping, your fam, destiny lays in my hands. Cat lays in my way. Francis, M to the is H phenomenal. Gun rest under your vest, body abdominal. So I can buy a few cars, then I kick a few flows, so I can pick a few holes. Excellence is my present. Never tense, never hesitate. Leave a nigga bent, real quick, real sick. Wrong nights, I perform like Mike. Anyone, Tyson, Jordan, Jackson, action, rap done.
Okay, Christopher, rest in peace. Do what you need to do in those clouds, big brother. The calling number is 917-889-9592. You got the next 60 minutes or more. Locked and loaded with Sports City. I'm going to try and get us out of here as best as I can, but I know Sports City since that. And by the way, I got to say this before we start jumping in the thing in the kitchen. Excellent show yesterday with the six-year anniversary. Got a great feedback. A lot of people checked the show out while we were live and downloaded the show. So thank you to everybody that did show us love live and downloading the show, man. Without y'all, it wouldn't be possible. Wouldn't at least give myself gasoline to push through and for everybody to come to the kitchen and to keep getting that good old food for thought for the past 6 years. That's right, 6 years. I'm saying this, man. So let me get this show in the way, man. We got a lot of stuff to jump into. Calling in by way of the state of Virginia, the U Chef, Chef TB. Welcome to the wrap up. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm doing good. Let's get going.
Okay, and calling out of the state of Michigan, Nostradamus, a.k.a. Chandler, welcome to the wrap-up. How are you feeling this evening? Okay, Chandler, are you there? We have a technical difficulty. Okay, well, let's get this thing going here. Let me know what's going on. All right, first and foremost, right, Sports City, like we've seen an interesting game, if you will. And by me saying an interesting game, a lot of people were in the kitchen talking about, well, they'll get swept off their feet and blown out of the building. And I was one of them. So I'm gonna actually apologize on myself and behalf of the people that felt the same way as me. But the Philadelphia Eagles go into Gillette and knock off the Patriots. Now, here's the interesting thing about that matchup yesterday. We all know the Patriots are missing pieces. They're missing Gronkowski. They're missing Edelman. They're missing Deion Lewis. But they did get Amendola back. But the remainder of that receiving core, and as much as Tom Brady is trying his best to make Scott Chandler look like Gronkowski, he's not Gronk. The Patriots are looking human, people. Tom Brady is looking human, people. And the incredible stuff about this is they were down 3 touchdowns. With 5 minutes left on the clock, Brady got 2 scores on the board, and they got Philly to fumble and they almost tied the game up, and then there was a critical series of plays in the middle of the field where it was like every New England Patriot receiver just forgot how to catch the ball. Brandon LaFell, Keyshawn Martin, like things of that nature. These guys are dropping passes where Brady's putting it in their breadbasket. But besides the point, the Patriots start off 10-0. They lose their next two, where you don't really recall the Patriots losing back-to-back games like that, let alone losing a game in Gillette in the icy cake. To lose to a struggling Philadelphia Eagle team ices the kink in this situation. Tommy, I'll come to you first. Your thoughts on this situation. I know we were actually talking about this game in reference at the same time while this was all going down. Your thoughts on the matchup.
Well, I'm going to tell Sports City the same thing I told you when I had you rolling laughing. Philadelphia Eagles, the players, better be glad they won that football game. Because if not, you had a bunch of drunken, happy people in Philadelphia that I believe were getting ready to riot and burn that city down if they would have lost. So they would have had Philadelphia, we would have had part of Pennsylvania missing because they would have rioted and burned that place down. Now, get to the game. Well, Philly's offense didn't look too bad, I guess. I mean, they scored two touchdowns. The rest were on special teams and defense. Way to go. I mean, congratulations, Philadelphia, for showing up. But like you said, they're not. It's not the same New England Patriots. And I'm not going out saying, trying to make this sound like that I'm a Patriots fan. I hate New England Patriots with a passion. But they're not the same. I mean, you could, like I told you, Todd, they are missing Gronk so bad. I mean, they don't even look like the same team without Gronk.
Okay. Looking at how this went down and how, and not only just Gronkowski, but looking at the other guys and knowing how Bill Belichick tried to stick to the mantra of the next guy up. You know, basically, if somebody goes down, the next guy should be able to fill the void and do their job. And that's the slogan they stick by, do their job. I mean, it's to a certain point that the line has to be drawn or these guys have to be able to play because they are professional football players. And I don't know if people watch the NFL Network or what have you. Deion Sanders, he jokingly did it, but you could tell there was a serious tone to it. But you could tell he was joking. He gave an offer to Terrell Owens and Chad Johnson to go to New England to help Tom Brady out. He would pay their way to get up there to help Brady out. And you know, he was jokingly saying it, but Brady and company need help. They really need some help up there in the receiving core. But, I mean, it got to a point where me and Tommy were talking about it while it was happening. It got to a point where they had to do a trick play to throw Tom Brady a 35-yard pass. Like, this is what it's coming to for Brady to be more productive in the receiving game than receivers getting paid millions of dollars to do this stuff. So, you know, one, with them showing the virtue of being human, two, is like, where does Brady go to now? And they've already went from atop the AFC to now being third-ranked in the AFC. Okay. We do have Chandler back. Chandler, welcome back to the wrap up. Are you here?
No, not now. Take me off the queue and I'll get back in the queue when I can.
Okay. Got a couple of go ahead, Tommy, and then I got people behind you.
Well, I mean, the Chad Johnson thing, that won't work. They tried that and it just didn't work.
Right, and his one little stint while he was with New England, they made the Super Bowl in 2011. And he played the entire season. He caught 18 passes that season. That was incredible. And they still made the Super Bowl but lost to the Giants in 2011. But, still yet, I think it's better than Brandon LaFell. I think it's better than Keyshawn Martin, especially the 4th-and-10 play. He hit Keyshawn Martin right in the chest. Keyshawn Martin caught the ball, and once he went to the ground, it's like he dropped the pass again. So, we have these situations going on. Let me get these people back, and we got Chandler calling back. And Chandler, are you available?
Yeah, I'll be quick because apparently there's a little committee watching me. Every time I try to do something like eat or use the phone, 18 million people want to show up and wander around the store. You're talking about New England, I guess, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, I don't understand all of the angst I'm sorry, what's New England's record?
They're 10-2.
10-2. Yeah, what's the problem? They're 10-2. We acting like this is a national emergency. Have they lost 5 games in a row or something? They're 10-2.
If the receiving corps keeps looking non-productive, they can slide. I think so.
Okay, you can think that, but it's not going to happen. That was just a bad matchup for them. And as we all know, the Philadelphia Eagles do have a talented team and should be able to beat anybody, especially a wounded team. So I don't see why that game was such a surprise to anybody yesterday. I don't see why it was such a surprise. We all knew Brandon LaFell couldn't catch a damn thing, and we knew that there was going to come a game because they lost all their players that they weren't going to win it because the receiver they have sucked. So I don't see how anybody's surprised about this. I really, really don't.
Okay, we do have callers behind you in queue. We have Matthew in the building. Welcome to the wrap-up. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm pretty drowsy, guys. I need my blood boiled by some chefs.
Okay, so your thoughts on the game last night, Tom Brady and the Patriots losing 2 in a row, especially the second game being a home game in Gillette up against the struggling Philadelphia Eagles.
Well, I hate to say it, I missed it. I jumped off the building after Matt Ryan threw that pick.
Okay, so you didn't catch any other game.
I was following it. And from what I gathered from the highlights, it looked like New England special teams is what blew the game. But I'm with Chandler. I don't think there's any reason to panic yet. We'll get into it, I'm sure, but Pittsburgh Steelers looks like a pretty decent threat to New England.
Like, where are you going? I'm asking you one simple topic. Like, please. Okay. I do have another caller behind you. I did not think fourth again. I'm going to be honest. I did not think this guy would show up today. I did not. But he showed up. He showed me up, and I feel wrong in this one. Patrick, welcome to the wrap-up. How are you feeling this evening?
Yeah, what's up? Didn't think I'd show up.
Right. You gotta speak up. You got to speak up. I can't hear you.
What's up?
Not too much. Your thoughts on the situation?
On the paper? Much ado about.
Pat, speak into the mic.
Pat, you gotta speak up, Pat. You're real low, Pat.
All right, let me call back.
All right. I'm gonna say it like this. I'm gonna keep it real. It's not a gesture of panic. I'm just saying that the way that the Philadelphia Eagles couldn't defend the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Had a very tough time with Thanksgiving dealing with the Detroit Lions. For them to be at home up against the Philadelphia Eagle team with Bradford coming back to the field after missing the past 3 weeks, and Bradford got it going with, you know, little to none offensively. Like, that offense really wasn't getting it done. Like, the Patriots had many different opportunities to make this a game, and things were falling apart just because his weapons weren't there. And knowing that they're saying Edelman will come back playoff time, and knowing that they're probably going to sit Gronkowski out for another week before they try to address him and see if he can get back out there on the field. But how much ground can they give up in the AFC if they want to hang on to a first-round bye if it's going to be there? That's the one thing that I'm thinking about, because you got the Bengals that sit atop the entire AFC. You got the Broncos that have the tiebreaker up against the Patriots. And then the Patriots are sitting at 3, and depending on if they start to slide and lose more games, it's something that you have to be concerned about. That's why I brought the topic up.
Okay. I mean, if Dotson could stay healthy for long, they'd be all right. I mean, Dotson's not bad. He just can't stay healthy.
I just think it's just a little premature. I mean, there's real teams worth talking about, you know. I mean, I just think it's premature. You know what I'm saying? For even to even talk about them sliding until they lose the third game.
Okay, well, I had to get that out there. I feel like I had to get that out there, at least for them to lose a back-to-back situation up against a questionable team in the Philadelphia Eagles. And by Philly actually winning that game, they put themselves in a position to have a discussion of being in the race in the NFC East. But we'll get past that. I'll get past that. The next discussion I want to get to is the unbeaten, the undefeated Carolina Panthers, in which this was an old-fashioned 10-paces-and-draw shootout between Drew Brees and Cam Newton. Now, Sports City, I usually don't like trying to call this award out, and you know where I'm going. The way that they're off to this start right now, Cam Newton is the NFL's MVP. I'm saying it right here, right now, December 7th. I don't see anybody else getting it done like this guy. This picture, they are 12-0 right now, and if they had Kelvin Benjamin added to this offense, it'd probably be ridiculous. It would probably be ridiculous if they had another big man on the outside, and Cam is getting it done. Greg Olsen, Ted Ginn, and Ted Ginn Jr. is up here dropping passes and still finished the game with 2 touchdowns. Still. Like these things are happening all too well, and you know, to ice the cake, the Panthers' defense is like the calling card. Even though they didn't show up yesterday, Drew Brees had their number, and it's a division rival, so you know that they're going to get their best. And Cam even said it after the game, you know, the Saints are going to pull their A game out and try to fight these guys tooth and nail. Your thoughts on this situation, Matt, I'll let you start this one up. Am I jumping the gun with Cam at MVP? Your thoughts on the 41-38 victory and the old-fashioned shootout?
No, you're not jumping the gun at all. He was right on Tom Brady's heels before last week. And now with all the statistics he got yesterday and the fact that Tom Brady didn't get a whole lot, Cam is definitely now the leader. I give Carolina all the credit in the world for not quitting that game. Yes, their defense got exposed, but you have to account for where they were playing. They were playing in New Orleans, which is almost like an arena football stadium. You never know when games like that will occur. I really am rooting for Carolina to win the last four, even though two of them against the Falcons. As we know, they're thrown in the towel. So, Carolina, I wish them all the best. I hope they go undefeated.
Okay, Chandler, your thoughts on this situation with Super Cam and the Panthers and that old-fashioned shootout with Drew Brees and those Saints down there in New Orleans?
Chandler?
Okay, Tommy, I'll go to you, then I got callers in queue.
Hey, let's go. Keep going, Carolina. Please, give me something to actually cheer for in the NFL. They're looking good. I want to talk about something else that might be, I know you've seen it, Ty, but I don't know if Matt or somebody else have something else talk about that game. Everybody knows when Cam scores or somebody else scores, Cam gives a football to a kid in the stands.
Exactly.
And there was a referee that took the ball. Cam literally stood there saying, here, here, here. And he gave it to the ball boy or whoever, whatever they're called. And Cam had to chase all the way down to go get it. Now, am I the only one that thought that official was a jackass?
No.
No, I actually agree with you. I feel like the referee was basically trying to prove his power that Cam don't need the ball at that given time, but proceed.
I mean, come on. Can we lose them trying to make sure they're part of this football game and just do their job, please? I mean, he's doing it. Cam's always done it. He's giving the ball to a kid. And you want to be known as for the fans, but then that happens. But get to the actual football game now. I just wanted to make sure everybody seen that or make sure I wasn't the only one that thought that. Let's not go out and make see, how do I want to put this? New Orleans is bad. We know that. But they do have some weapons on offense, especially that rookie, Cook. And that's pretty much where they went. He runs pretty much two routes. He'll run a nine route deep or he'll run a slant. And if he gets a step on you, Cook is gone. Well, he got a step on – he'll get a step on most corners. I mean, he did it in college. Then they've got a couple other receivers here and there. If they had any kind of defense in New Orleans, they'd be all right. They could give Carolina a fight. I mean, they played with Carolina both games this year, week three and week last yesterday. So let's not – I mean, Carolina's bad deep – or not Carolina. New Orleans is bad defensively, not offensively.
Okay, we do have Pat back. Pat, welcome back. Your thoughts on the matchup between the Panthers visiting New Orleans and getting the job done?
It was – can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, it was – I mean, it was typical New Orleans – it was definitely New Orleans style of game, but, you know, they're not a very good team. I wasn't surprised by the outcome. I watched the game being that I'm here in the Southeast, so we get all of those games, unfortunately, the NFC side. Any of that at all.
You didn't want to watch the Raiders game.
So what now?
I said, would you have rather watched the Raiders?
What do you think? Since you brought the Raiders up, you must know something.
I think
because there's 31 other teams. There's 31 other teams you could have mentioned, but you missed.
I think the Raiders defense fell apart, but that's another
thing. Since you were poignant enough to pick out that specific team. But anyway, I wasn't surprised. And, yeah, Cam Newton is, in my opinion, definitely the MVP because without him, that team, they don't do nearly what they're doing, especially offensively. They're nowhere near where they are. Even though his stats, as a quarterback, his stats are very pedestrian. But he's proving that, you know, it's not about stats. It's about your impact on the game. And that's what it's all about, his impact. Because I think I checked the rankings of quarterbacks in the NFL from 1 to 32. Shit, Cam is middle of the pack. He's like 15 statistically, somewhere around there. He's between, I think, like 15 and 17. But his team is the only undefeated team in the league. So that just goes to show you how deceptive statistics are. And before he threw those five TDs yesterday, I think he's got 25 on the year. Or so coming into that game, he had only threw, 19, 20 touchdowns coming into that game. So he's definitely, I think he's definitely going to be the MVP of the league. And back to the whole New England thing, man, the rate of attrition is catching up with that team. It's all about injuries. And let's just be realistic. Philly did basically nothing on offense. What, Bradford threw for what, 140 yards? Something like that. So you take away all those special teams touchdowns and the fact that Brady almost brought him back and tied the game on top of missing their most athletic offensive weapon as well as a running back, as well as a receiver, and they're still a tough out. They're not going anywhere. And I can't stand New England, but I respect the way that they play. the way they play the game. And it just surprises me with the NFL being a copycat league, using my own team as an example, how teams do not emphasize execution. Everybody's on this whole talent trip. Despite when we were watching Pittsburgh last night. Who else has the best three wide receivers in football? Nobody. Well, it's not always about that. It's about execution. You can't block, and you can't tackle, and you can't catch. Athleticism means nothing. And New England is living proof of that. And that's what I respect most about them. They're a throwback. They rely on fundamentals. And that's why they can suffer all these injuries and be 10-2. Because they execute, they're disciplined, and they're well prepared.
Okay, we do have calling in out of the state of Georgia. Naj, welcome to the wrap-up. How are you feeling this evening?
Man, you know what it is. I'm good, man. Rum and Coke. What y'all talking about?
Talking a little pigskin, but I know this is a little bittersweet to talk about your division down there in the NFC South. The Panthers wrap it up for the third straight year, back-to-back-to-back champions, in a heck of a shootout up against the Saints. Your thoughts, and am I jumping the gun and saying Cam Newton is this year's NFL MVP?
No, I don't think that's jumping the gun by any stretch, man. What Cam is doing out there is amazing, especially when you start looking at that receiving core, the running game, which is kind of limited to what's there, and that's it. Like, that running game doesn't get him really any much more than that. But the thing with Cam is, like Pat was just saying, like looking at the stats, how he was middle of the pack as far as passing. Well, with that receiving core, you're going to be middle of the pack. But with Cam, you have to use other stats to kind of see where his effectiveness is. And then you start talking about third down percentage, how many fourth and shorts they pick up just because they got Cam who can just kind of bulldoze his way through, pick up a first down, keep a drive going, keep that defense fresh with that good D-line, which allows them to always flip the field. And they just kind of pound on you and pound on you all game. And when plays are there to be made, Cam has put the ball in the position. Now, they do have some drops, but, I mean, that's going to be expected with that core that they have. But they don't get really down about the drops. They don't let a bad play, like, destroy the team. But that game against the Saints, I think, kind of shows us how limited they are. Now, everybody who plays the Saints has a career passing day just about. So that five touchdowns is no surprise against that horrible Saints secondary. But the fact that a team like that can hang with Carolina, even though they're undefeated, they are one of those number one seeds that can be had and could end up losing their first playoff game because the margins are so thin. Like, they're not one of those undefeated great teams that from the past that we know. Like, this is a team with a Pro Bowl guy, All Pro guy, who is just making things happen, and then defensively. Keekly and those boys, Thomas Davis and that D-line, they are really good. And then Josh Norman in the corner, they're really good. So defensively, they're solid on offense. They just have to not turn it over, let Cam control time of possession, first downs, and make plays when they're there. So they're a very interesting team. And that game against the Saints, once again, shout out to Drew Brees for making things happen. He's out there with a few offensive weapons, and just a ragtag bunch of a team. And the most interesting play from yesterday was when Cam slowed up, trying to style on him a little bit, and got cracked over there by the goal line. You know what I mean? Cam had to give it up in the presser and say, that's my fault, that's my mistake, I shouldn't have did that. But that was kind of funny to see him kind of stun on those boys. And, hey, man, they're still NFL players. They will hit you. So that's all I got, Carolina, New Orleans. I forgot the other one you had, man.
Well, the Cam MVP, the other game before that was the Brady and the Eagles situation. But I think the play of the game and the person that you are missing while you announce everything about the Carolina Panthers, yeah, I'm biased. So what? I'm going to do it. Greg Olsen on a 4th-and-4 play, and Cam had everything going. He started scrambled to his left, and leaves one in the air for Greg Olsen to catch in the nose of the ball, almost hit the ground, and Greg makes the catch and keeps the drive going, and basically leads them to score again to get the lead. But definitely Greg Olsen has been his key component that's been consistent all season long for that offense. People are listening, that tight end out of that college out of somewhere in the southern region of Florida. I don't know, but I love the school and I love him too. But
Mark,
that was a great catch. It made up for that drop he had early in the game. But he's a top five tight end, best weapon they have.
Right now, exactly. That's what I'm saying. He's been the more consistent thing in that offense. Right? Well, I mean, Jonathan Stewart stepped up a little bit this season, but not as consistent as he should be. At least he's not injured. That's the one thing that has been good about Jonathan Stewart. I will knock on wood that he hasn't been injured, so that's the good thing. I am going to mix this up on you guys because I kind of want to get you and Matt started because you guys are in the NFC South.
I don't get to talk about Cam Newton.
Oh, my bad. I tried to call you, Chandler. Wow. Okay. Exactly.
I asked Ty, when I get done, I need you to take me out of the queue so I can hit one, so you'll know when I'm ready, all right?
Okay. I'm sorry. Listen, I'm not trying to fight. Listen, dog. Look, I can't be fighting for the past 2 days now. Like everybody, you, Pat, everybody. Okay.
I haven't been here, so I understand.
I try. You can ask them. I came for you. I did come for you. I did.
No,
okay.
Everybody wasn't after you. I haven't been.
Okay.
The thing with Cam, real quick, man, is, and Ty, you know, you like an itch that I can't quite scratch sometimes when you say certain things. And I know you say it to be an agent provocateur, but you and I both know that sometimes there's addition, addition by subtraction. If Kelvin Benjamin were healthy, then Cam Newton would not be spreading the ball around as much as he is, and I don't think his team would be playing as well as it is. I think the best thing that happened to them was Kelvin Benjamin getting hurt because it made Cam have to trust his other receivers. Now when Benjamin comes back next season, now he knows he's got these guys he can trust, and he doesn't have to focus on one receiver. So when everybody keeps saying, oh, imagine if they had Kelvin Benjamin, I don't think they'd have the same record if they had Kelvin Benjamin, to be quite honest with you. I don't think they'd be undefeated. And that's not a knock against Kelvin Benjamin. To me, I'm saying that it would have retarded the progress of this offense. Because when you have a big play receiver, you tend to focus on him to the detriment of your other receivers. And I think this made Cam a better quarterback. No, he's not going to be the MVP because if New England doesn't win another game, they're going to find a way. They're talking about Tom Brady, and he did it with nothing, and they're going to give Brady the MVP.
And then you know what's going to happen? I'm going to be done with the NFL. I won't watch it.
Oh, Tom Brady's got his own TV channel.
Roger will take care of that. Roger will take care of that.
Up in Boston.
So Chandler, let me say this, Chandler. So the Patriots sitting at 10-2. Let's just say the Patriots win out. They go 14-2. Let's just say Cam loses a game. I'll give them a game loss. But like, and I don't want to see. I really want to see them run the table. But knowing how hard it is to go 16-0, you think that if they go 15-1 or 14-2, that Tom Brady beats them out for the MVP?
Yeah, because this entire season, all we've heard about was Tom Brady's the MVP. Here's the narrative. We know what Cam is doing, but look at what Tom is doing in New England with no receivers. And you know that's been the narrative, man. You heard it. We've all heard it.
Yeah. He doesn't have a receiver.
I'm not saying he deserves it. I'm just telling you what the hype machine has been doing all season. And you guys know this already. That's why I said if New England wins out, they're going to find a way. It's either going to be co-MVPs or it's going to be Brady alone. But trust me on this. They're going to find a way to give Brady the MVP.
I can see co-MVPs, but, man, some of these writers who have real affiliations with the NFL, I can see some little corporate nudging going on and them voting more towards Cam. Roger Goodell and I'm not happy with Tom Brady, man. Like, this is not over. I keep trying to tell y'all it's not over. You don't get to win and just walk away from court and they just have to hang their heads and say, well, Brady beat us. So it's not over. So we'll see.
We do got to remember who the owner of the Patriots is. The guy pretty much runs the NFL. So just remember that.
Man, they had Bob Kraft throwing Tom Brady under the bus at one point. And he's a strong owner, but him against the collective, like, nah, I don't want
to. But with
that.
The PR move, and they know what they're doing. He influences other teams that trade.
Yeah, but you get the point, though. The fact that he had to make that PR move on behalf of the other owners. You know he didn't really feel that way, but he had to make that move. That lets you know that he don't control the rest of the ownership. Like, he's a billionaire dude. He's talking about.
He controls other teams' moves that go on in the league.
You got it.
Okay. Well, since we're on that talk, is it just a two-man race for the MVP, or do you throw Andy Dalton in the discussion? Who do you throw
Andy
in the discussion?
Dalton?
I mean,
Nah, B.
No. Okay, then tell me why. Wait. Tell me why the Bengals are atop the AFC. Tell me why.
Because Andy Dalton is viewed as a. Listen, Andy Dalton is never going to be the MVP unless Tom Brady dies, Cam Newton is shot to the sun, and all the other teams in the league disappear.
Okay. Who has this team? Listen. If Andy Dalton isn't playing the type of football that he's playing, Chandler, you know this for a fact because you are his biggest critic. You are Andy Dalton's biggest critic. He has been showing up this year playing well for the Cincinnati Bengals team. Now, I know, and this is a knock that I have against Andy Dalton, he does not show up in the postseason. But right now, they are the best team in the AFC where Tom Brady lives, where Peyton Manning lives. Where Ben Roethlisberger and those Steelers are
but these both are tied to people's reputation. So they want to see Andy win a playoff game, and then maybe next year some people will be comfortable voting for him. And then we got to throw this out there, man. Look, who did he throw those two touchdowns to yesterday? A.J. Green. Who else does he have? Eifert at tight end. He has a speed back in Gianni. He has a power back in Jeremy Hill. Like, that team is stacked and loaded, and it's obvious. Like, they've done some really good drafting the last couple of years. So Andy's not walking out there like Tom and Cam are. Like, point blank.
Riddle me this. You could just throw any quarterback behind center and get it done? Yes or no?
Well, it doesn't have to be an any.
Yes or no.
No, stop Skip Bayless to me. You're turning the argument into it has to be either a bum or Andy Dalton. I'm saying let's do it by degrees. Let's take the top 10 quarterbacks in the league and say, okay, how many of them could you plug in Cincinnati and would they be successful? And I think the majority of the top 10, I would have to say yes. Now, if we say throw a bum in there, okay, maybe a bum's a bum. But if you look at it in that way, I think you'll start to see come more around to my area on this and say that, you know, as good as Dalton has played, and he's much better than he's been. You got to give him his credit on that. But, I mean, hell, we just watched Osweiler come into that Denver team and become 3-0. So, I mean, when there's talent around you, there's a lot that can be done.
So can Phillip Rivers go to Cincinnati and make it happen?
You questioning that?
Yes.
No question. Phillip Rivers, Drew Brees, like any of those. Come on, man.
Hold on. Because I want to give you quarterbacks that, you know, teams that won't let them go. I won't say Aaron Rodgers, like two names like that, because their teams aren't going to respectively let them go. I want to throw names out there that these quarterbacks are playing iffy, but still get considered to be top 15, top 10 quarterbacks in the league. Can Romo go there and make it happen? If he were healthy, can Romo go there and make it happen if he were healthy?
Yes. Romo, Russell Wilson, whoever you want to name, as far as, like I said, top 10 guy, you put him there, yeah, I think they would be successful. Look at that team and look at what the coordinator, the former Raiders coach, look what he's doing out there. They're doing some some really good things schematically, and they got the talent to do it. They're 2 and 3 receivers. What's his name? Jones and Sanu. I think a lot of teams would love to have them. I know Atlanta would right now, where they're putting the Falcons and Roddy White out there every week.
I mean, I wanted to get to the Falcons situation and wanted to talk about Jameis Winston putting the team on his back also, man. But, I mean, anybody else have to throw names into the MVP circle? I mean, what do you have? You have Rodgers, if you want to throw him in there? Do you have Adrian Peterson in there? Do you have Cam Newton, Tom Brady?
Ben Roethlisberger.
I mean, you can throw other names in there, but that's just conversation, man. It's a two-horse race, plain and simple.
In there.
It's Brady and Newton. And all you got to do is look at how their teams are structured, what they got, and what they're doing with what they have. The Andy Dalton comparison, just like Nas said, man, that team is loaded on both sides of the ball. Now, if you're talking about can you throw Brian Hoyer in there or Ryan Mallett or what the dude that's quarterbacking Cleveland or, you know, when you talk about throwing guys like that in there and can they win with them?
He couldn't quarterback with that either.
No.
Yeah, he's done. I mean, yeah, now you're talking about a challenge. But when you're talking about Aaron Rodgers, man, that's a seasoned vet. A lot of these other cats. Okay, all I'm saying is that you got a certain – we all know how quarterback position is in the NFL, okay? You got like 8 or 9, let's go 10, really good quarterbacks, and then it just falls off a cliff. And then the rest of them are just middle of the road. You got to build something around them. You got to get some athletes. They got to have a good coordinator. They got to have a coordinator that stays there for a certain length of time. They got to develop an offense. You got a whole lot of stuff that goes into that. So it's not like just throwing a cat in there and, oh, okay, well, yeah, they'll just keep moving. Let's do the reverse. Throw Andy Dalton in with Carolina, the way they're set up. How good would he be?
And I got a two-way answer to that. One, I understand where you're coming from with that gesture because Cam, his style of play makes it different. Defenses have to plan to go hit a defensive end slash linebacker at quarterback. If you look at Cam's size and how he runs already, he runs athletically like a tight end or a receiver. But he's bigger than some linebackers and defensive ends in the league. Bigger than, not as big. He's bigger than them. Andy doesn't bring that dimension to the game. But this is what I want to say in retrospect to that. What does Andy Dalton have to do to get respect from you people? He's been to the
playoffs.
He can't win in the playoffs. That's the knock against him, right? He's been in the league for 3 years straight. 3 years. He's made the playoffs for 2 years. Wait, chill out, homeboy, chill out. Look. He's been in the playoffs 3 straight years. He is growing on the fly. This is his 4th year. This is growth. All of us as a being human beings have growth somewhere in our lives. Like, we have to grow from something.
If this was Romo and unfair criticism, I can understand what you're saying. This ain't about him getting to the playoffs and losing a close game. This is about him getting to the playoffs and looking shook. Like, it's a showdown and he don't show up. Like, he get out there and looks terrible, like overthrowing people, throwing bad picks. His team has no chance to win in those playoff games.
Yes, he does. No, he doesn't have a chance to win. Last year, they lost to the Chargers. By how much? They lost to the Chargers by how much in the playoffs last year?
Yeah, that was a good game. I give it to them.
One possession. They lost by one possession. Wait. One possession. Hold on, you gotta let me talk too. The two years before that, they played the Houston Texans. Do you know how much they lost by? One possession.
Now you want to use points. Let me go to how he played, because now you want to
say, because that's what I'm talking about. Because you said he don't have a legit shot in the game.
I'm pulling up how he played.
You're telling me that he don't have a legit shot in the game, even with him messing up. He came into the league as a rookie. As a rookie and got there with Cincinnati. Like what? And now that it was his fourth season, it's all the pieces around him and nothing about the Red Rockets. Nothing about Andy Dalton.
Let's be real, too. They traded Carson Palmer, got a gang of picks for that, so that helped out, and they stockpiled talent around him in order for him to be successful early and now. And if you, like I said, you pull up those games, you'll see he didn't play well. Now, he didn't get this reputation because people just don't like his red hair. He has this reputation because he played horribly. Now, you can talk about score if you want to, but we pull up Andy Dalton's playoff career, man.
He's had a big game Sunday.
No, the mention was those games that you're referencing in the playoffs, those were all home games against wild card teams.
No, that's not true. Two in Houston, that's a lie. Let's try that again.
Wasn't the San Diego game at home?
No, the San Diego game was at home in the rain. In the rain. That was
it. Oh,
that
was bringing up the rain.
That was bringing up the rain.
If it wasn't for Carson Palmer.
Okay, so you're telling me.
Oh, God.
Okay, and it still was a game. What is it going to take for Andy Dalton to get respect from y'all that he has to win in the postseason? Right now he's getting it done in the regular season, and you don't even want to look at that. You're looking at the components around him, which they do deserve their respect. The defense deserves respect. The receiver core, A.J. Green and them, deserve respect.
Okay.
What are they looking for?
Here's a fair argument for you. Doesn't Peyton Manning, as great as he is, doesn't he have the same knock on him? The same exact one. He's a regular season wonder, and he's a postseason blunder. And this has been going on with Peyton Manning for over 10 years, with the exception of that one Super Bowl win. This has been the knock on him. This is going to be the knock on him, even though he might go down as one of the greatest, if not the greatest. Well, Tom Brady will probably go down as the greatest. Manning, the second greatest. Statistically, that's the knock on Manning. And look at his resume. And you think Andy Dalton, for four-year resume, ain't going to get knocked? And you got a guy that's a guaranteed Hall of Famer, been in the league 15 years, the Hall of Fame with that same tag on it. He's going in the Hall of Fame as great regular season quarterback, in the playoffs.
Without a doubt. No question. But this is what I'm saying. Hold on. No, because I'm not comparing Andy Dalton to Peyton Manning career-wise. I'm looking at this as Andy Dalton in the year 2015, 2016 and what he's doing with his schedule right now. With his team, I'm not comparing his career to Peyton Manning. He's way out of his league. You didn't hear that come from me.
When I read this, all this is gonna stop. 2011, zero TDs, three picks. Playoff game, one and done. 2012, zero TDs, one pick, one and done. 2013, one TD, two picks, one and done. 2014, 0-0. One and done. Career playoff record, one TD, six interceptions. Now do you see what we're talking
Nothing.
About?
Hold on. Are we talking? All right. Look. And we're talking about
wait, hold on.
And this is good. This is good for the soul. Because we're talking about the postseason of the past. And we're talking about
that white boy.
Listen, babe boy. Like, stop cutting me off. I don't cut y'all off like that. Check this out. I'm talking about the 2015 season and what he's doing
it
in this season right now.
Playing free puffs.
Stop interrupting, you big mouth.
No, what Ty is saying is real. He just said you have to prove it. I guess my bad. Go ahead, Mr. Champ. But you have to prove it, man.
All right. So this is what I'm saying. So if the Bengals finish at the top of the AFC, and let's just say they finish and clear out their schedule how it is, they don't consider Andy Dalton at all.
Oh yeah, he'll be considered. He's not a part of that two horse race though. His name gets thrown in there.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. I was throwing names in there. Wait. I was throwing names in there. Wait, hold on. So you're helping me now. I was throwing names in there. I didn't say he was going to win. I said as a nomination. Like I didn't say Andy Dalton is this year's MVP. I started the show out and gave you my MVP call. Are y'all listening to me?
Well,
or is this just for the, or is this just for the purpose of debate?
You don't get nominated for MVP, Tyrone. Your name just becomes a part of the discussion. And I said from the very beginning, if we just want to have a conversation about it, yeah, you can throw his name in there. But when you're talking about who's got a shot at it, does Andy Dalton? Let's put it this way: does he have a shot at winning the MVP if Cincinnati wins out, if Carolina wins out, and if New England wins out? Does he have a shot against Cam Newton and Tom Brady?
No, because if you heard me from the top of the show, if you were here at the beginning of the show, who did I say was winning the NFL MVP? Please, if you heard me, if you remember anything that I said.
Cam Newton.
That's exactly what the hell I said. I just was throwing names in a pot.
So why are we talking about Andy Dalton?
I was just throwing names in a pot.
So why are we talking about Andy Dalton?
Okay. I'm going to just get past it.
Nas gave us the most telling stat. Nas gave us the most telling stat. Four straight playoff appearances, four straight one-game exits, one touchdown, six INTs. What is that saying that Kenny the Jet Smith has about the NBA, about the regular season versus the postseason? I forget what that thing is that he says. You make your name in the regular season and you make your fame in the postseason, something like that. I forget how it goes. But
I don't know how the hell that has anything to do with the 2015 season. I don't know how that has anything to do with what the hell we're talking about right now.
You convinced me, Ty.
Ty hit on something right there when he said he don't know how that has something to do with the season. The thing is, writers have biases like we all do. So when they see a guy like this or a guy with a reputation like this, people are a little leery about giving him that vote. It's like Dirk before Dirk had that championship run. And when writers look at you a certain way, they're less likely to vote for you. That's all we're trying to say with Andy Dalton. And then this year, I mean, unless Cam and Brady fall apart, he has no shot. But the bias that a lot of writers have against him, it's going to show up in the voting because they've seen him get in the playoffs and play horribly. Think about how we looked at Romo before he got his first playoff win.
Sorry, can I jump in here? Because Nas is exactly right. MVPs and All-Star games or Pro Bowl appearances now have nothing to do with the season you're having. They really have nothing to do with it. It's about what you've been doing. It's some kind of – they've turned these awards into some kind of referendum on players' legacies. You don't deserve an MVP if you haven't won in the postseason. You don't deserve to be in the Pro Bowl unless you put together four or five seasons. The hell with the fact that it's about this season right here. That ain't got nothing to do with it. We're gonna conveniently neglect that truth, okay, so that it don't interrupt the great story we're telling, okay? Your facts have no place in this story.
Let's be clear. Your facts have no place in this story.
Right. Yeah, that's dead on, man. And writers love to get revenge. That guy blew me off at the airport, wouldn't give me an interview. That guy, that, you know what I mean? And it all comes out to play, man, in MVP voting especially, man. There's no way you're beating cuddly Steph Curry in the NBA MVP voting if he has, you know what I mean, these historic seats. There's no way you're beating him. I don't care what you do.
Yep, and they do the same thing in that Hall of Fame voting too. They got it bad with that one. Don't be a media pariah. Oh, they will lock you out of that no matter what numbers you put up. They'll lock
you out.
They
might make T.O. wait. They might make T.O. wait just out of spite. They might make Randy wait.
Yep.
I think Randy jumped the shark though with that 30-for-30 and stuff, but T.O. they might just out of spite make him wait.
And Ty, here's a perfect example of what I'm talking about. Who can tell me that Russell Westbrook did not deserve to be in the top three for MVP last season with what he did by himself with that Thunder team, almost dragging him into the playoffs by himself in the Western Conference? He didn't get a sniff of the top three because the media has a narrative against him that he's selfish and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Russell Westbrook should have been, in my opinion, should have been MVP, but he should have been at least number two. He wasn't even in the top three.
Yeah.
I mean, he was fitter. He's still a fitter. I mean, he was on the outside looking in on that three, but still, yeah. I mean, people have to shake that at the end of the day. And the one thing that you did say, Nas, and I'm a biased Moss fan, I don't think, and I don't like T.O., but I don't think they made T.O. or Moss win. They are basically the receivers right behind Rice. Like, it's Rice and
they both
wait. Okay.
They both waiting, Ty. They both waiting. A while.
Yeah.
A while.
Football
a while. T.O. is going to wait at least 5 years, probably seven. Randy's going to wait at least 3 years.
Randy has, like, 3 or 4 NFL records right now, especially at 16-0 season where he scored 23 and broke Jerry Rice's record.
They both should be first ballot, but like we said, there's a lot of politics involved, a lot of egos involved,
and
a lot of people who want to, you know, even a score.
And don't forget now Moss is a part of the media, you know, that player transitioning into football analysis. So he's actually ingratiating himself with those who, like Nas and Chandler said, writers that hold that bias. So that might cut his waiting time down a little bit. Now, T.O., he's on the outside looking in.
Well, you also got to think, too, how long it took some of these other receivers to even get into the Hall of Fame or wide receivers.
Yep.
Look, I mean, if I missed it, Tim Brown's not in yet, is he?
He just got in.
All right, well, see, Tim Brown just got in. Then you got Andre Reed that just got in a couple years ago. There's a couple other receivers that's not in yet that should be in.
Marvin Harrison.
Well, Marvin Harrison is a different subject, though. You know why he ain't getting it.
I'm just saying, though. We're talking Hall of Famers, which is numbers. It's what you do on the field. Now, but this goes to the narrative that you guys are talking about. It's extracurricular activities, gun charges, all of that old kind of stuff. And then you look at guys who you kind of scratch your head. I mean, damn, look at Warren Sapp. Got in first ballot, and look at him now.
Yeah.
And you kind of wonder how did that happen?
Throw off the field stuff out the window. Charles Haley's in, and you shouldn't talk to nobody about off the field stuff. Just know what they did on the field. And as great as those players Tommy just listed are, Tim Brown and Chris Carter and those other receivers, none of them are T.O. and Randy Moss. That's how much talent we're talking about. But they still probably go get shafted, like Chandler said, and they'll probably have to wait a bit. I think Randy may get in there.
Well, as of this season coming around, this August in 2016, T.O. is eligible. T.O. will be eligible.
I mean, you got to look at the – let's cut you off, Ty. But you also got to look at the running back position. Look how far – how backed up the running back position is.
Yeah, but it seems like running backs get their due. Like, if you put in the yards consistently for a long time as a running back, you see Bennett, Kirby Martin, some of those guys get in. I think you get in. But as a receiver, man, that thing is so backloaded and it's so hard, I guess, to really separate the errors because everybody's got stupid yards. Everybody's got stupid catches. So it becomes really hard to separate. But, I mean, if you're looking from the outside like we all are, I mean, there are some guys who are point-blank obvious. Like, this, if they're not in, it's politics, like, period. Like, Randy, like, come on, man.
Yeah, look
if
how
you
long
know
Andre
Randy
Reed
Moss's,
had to wait.
He's no Randy, though. Like, you put Randy in damn near any draft you want, and if you know his career, how it would play out, and I tell you Randy Moss is in the draft, he's top three, any draft. Like, that's the kind of talent any draft you want to name, he's top three.
The ridiculous situation about Moss was he didn't see a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback till he went to New England. He did all of that madness.
How dare you, sir, speak about the great Randall Cunningham that way, sir?
Listen, you can ask everybody in Port City. Randall's my favorite quarterback all time, but Randall ain't going to make the Hall of Fame. Randall won't. And that makes me disappointed. You think Randall Cunningham will make the Hall of Fame?
No.
He won't. No.
Right. That's what I'm saying. And I love Randall in my heart. Look. I'm a diehard Lions fan, but I love Randall to death. I know Randall wasn't a Hall of Fame type of dude, but that run that they got off to, that 15-1 run in his rookie season and breaking rookie records, 18 touchdowns out the bag, like that's crazy. Like, that's a record out the bag. Like, his first thing he said he was going to rip up the league, did that. Like, 23 touchdowns, everybody thought he was washed up with Brady. 16-0, like, they were basically a catch away from winning that Super Bowl. Like, Moss had to single-handedly get that done. Like, and ended his career in the Super Bowl again where Kaepernick didn't even target him up against the Ravens. Didn't even target him at all.
Yeah, but you're forgetting his greatest accomplishment was getting Matt Castle paid. And Matt Castle is still in the league right now, owing a lot of that to the great Randy Moss. And that season when they went 11-5.
11-5.
I have a question about a player that's eligible for the NFL or for the NFL Hall of Fame. Me and Todd was talking about him last night. Edgerrin James, does he get in first ballot, or do they gonna make him wait?
Who?
Yeah,
Edgerrin James.
I think Edgerrin is leaving right now. I think he's been out of the league for 5 years already. I think he is leaving.
Yeah, he's eligible this year.
He's not getting in.
Yeah, it'll be a while before it'll be a while. If he gets in, it'll be a while.
If he gets in. Right. Yeah. If he gets in. If, and that's a big if. Edgerrin, I don't think he's getting in personally. And I liked him. I liked him as a running back. I remember when he came out, but I don't think he's getting in at all, man, because the narrative on him was he was always underrated when he was playing, if you remember. I mean, they were always was talking about somebody before they talked about him, you know. And then on those Colts teams he was on, you know, they still didn't really give him any credit, or even on those teams. So, I don't think he's getting in, bro.
How long did he play, actually? How long did Edgerrin play?
At least 10, right? Because the time in Arizona.
I think 10 or 11 years.
Yeah. I think
he played
10 or 11 with Indy, and he played with Indy and Arizona, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Arizona was
this,
Indy.
He had to
give it up.
Back.
I mean, he played with Tate and all them. He's the one that took... He's the one that took Marshall Faulk's spot.
Yep.
Well,
when you think about
they
that
made the
trade,
move.
Right?
Made the move, yeah.
Would they redo that trade? And the answer is hell no, because Marshall still had a hell of a lot left in him and we saw in St. Louis, and as good as Edge was, he's not Marshall Faulk, man. Like,
man, I would have never gave Marshall Faulk up. No way.
And I'm an Edgerrin James fan, and I'm just saying that because Marshall is one of those guys. You know what I mean? Like, Marshall's...
Yeah, but I don't think Marshall would have been the same player in Indianapolis that he was in St. Louis because he wasn't being used the same way. You understand what I'm saying? I honestly believe that if Marshall Parker stayed in Indianapolis, he would not be in the Hall of Fame right now. I truly believe that.
But
he would not be in the Hall of Fame.
I say you fire the coach and find one that can use Marshall's talent. And you got talent like Marshall Faulk. That's a coaching problem if you're not using them properly. Like, that's a you thing.
Yeah, but you look at the Rams and Jerome Bettis. You think the Rams wouldn't want to do over and get rid of Jerome Bettis?
Right. True. And the Rams did the old school thing. They said, we got a punishing big giant running back. He's taking a lot of carries. He's taking a lot of hits. The smart thing is to get rid of him now before you have to pay him this big money. But they didn't know that he had a whole second career ready to go, and he was the bust in Pittsburgh. Like, sometimes
the Rams
really bite you in the ass.
They did the same thing with Dickerson, though. Mm. So they got a history of that. Because look at when the Rams actually, you know, unloaded Dickerson. Come on, he was tearing the league up.
Right.
And all of a sudden, he was gone to Indianapolis. It was like,
and they
what?
Put him to the Colts, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. Here's another topic that I'm going to dig into. And, oh, by the way, I know you probably won't care about one thing that I am going to talk about right now. This is a two-second thing. San Antonio is up 36 on the Sixers at halftime. 36. I just wanted to let y'all know that. I had to. But you laughing. This is real talk, man. They up 36 on them at halftime. And it's in Philly. Okay. Now, it was an interesting topic that we did talk about, but it is looking like it may come true, Sports City. We have been talking about this for the past 2 or 3 weeks here in this kitchen. They are thinking about starting Brock Osweiler for the remainder of the season for the Broncos. And the way the Broncos have been playing, they have been responding to their starting quarterback. Have we actually initially seen the last of Peyton Manning? Now, me personally, as in a personal situation, I didn't like Peyton Manning as a quarterback just because of his swagger and what he brought to the field, but I know he's a hell of a quarterback monster, probably top three quarterback all time. But is that how his career ends? Plantar fasciitis, and we don't see another snap, and they wait to see how far Brock Osweiler carries this team. The Broncos are talking about starting Brock for the remainder of the season. Have we seen the end of Peyton Manning's career?
Manning's done, man. He's been done. He's done.
So
he's,
we're not
gonna Manning's going down the, he's going down the same road Kobe Bryant is going down. You didn't play 20 years. Your body is giving out on you. Okay? That is a... If that ain't the most obvious sign... It's time to say goodbye. I don't know what is. When your body doesn't hold up, especially at that stage of your career, it's time to quit. And he even said he wanted to come back. This was, I think, about 4 or 5 weeks ago. He wanted to come back for another year. Denver would be stupid to do that. Manny, it's over, man. You'd have made a ton of money. Go do something else.
Does anybody think Peyton will come back and play football at least this season?
No, not this season. Next season, yes.
So you think he has one more year left? Chandler, you think he has one more year left?
I'm saying he's going to play another year. Whether he actually can play well or not is a whole different conversation. But Peyton Manning is not ready to retire, dude. He's not ready to retire. And, Ty, we need to give Rodgers some credit for coming up with that verse.
Yeah. He did.
Hey, He's a chef in Sports City. We get these dishes out of Wales, people. There was a game that I wanted to go to yesterday about the Falcons and Buccaneers situation, but we lost somebody that was in calling queue just because of the situation that was going on. But I do want to revisit one game that happened yesterday and see how you guys feel about this. What the hell? And that's right, Sports City. I'm going to say hell. What the hell happened to the Minnesota Vikings, people? Now, mind you, they were sitting atop the NFC North. Now, they get leapfrogged by Green Bay. Crazy that this happens this way. But not only that, the Vikings' defense was questionable. Their offense really couldn't get started at home, only getting one touchdown up against the Legion of Boom. And I feel bad in saying this, Sports City. I might have to give Donnell a five-minute segment in Sports City because the Seahawks might look like they have their swagger back, especially in beating up on Minnesota at home. Your thoughts on both sides of the ball? Is the Seattle Seahawks back, and what the hell is going on with the Minnesota Vikings?
I don't think anything's going on with the Minnesota Vikings. They just ran into a truck. Seattle was playing really well right now. By myself, I predicted Russell would play badly and get criticized, but it's been the complete opposite. Russell was playing like the guy they paid. Like, I'm shocked at how good Russell is playing, and you kind of just got to give it up to him and say that championship pedigree is showing through. They sat Lynch because of the injuries, and Rawls has come in and balled, and Russell is really making it happen out there, even with the loss of Jimmy Graham. So, I mean, I just think they ran into a truck last week and lost the game. They're still within striking distance of a playoff spot and the division. So I don't think Minnesota's, you know, out there bad or anything. It's just one game.
I have a question, though. Why in the hell did Adrian Peterson only have 8 carries?
Because they had to go away from the run real early.
All right.
I mean, that's
they're down 21-0. It's a simple formula. When you got a run heavy team, you jump on them running and score, change everything. Because when you're down 21-0, you can't be trying to pound the ball and go on these 12, 13, 14 play drives. It's not enough time in the game for that. So if you jump on a running team early, you're stopping the run. You're forcing the pass, and even though Bridgewater is only in his second year, so their passing game still needs time to develop. They're not a quick strike team. They're not the type of team that's just going to, you know, race up and down the field. They're just methodical. And Seattle knows that type of team because their division, you know, is a good running division. The NFC West, a lot of those teams have good running games, so they're used to that, and they know it. These teams are scouted well. You went out 21-0. What you going to do with Adrian Peterson at that point? 21-0.
And the Texans
time.
Say it again, Chandler.
I don't believe this. Yeah, I believe that what happened again. Minnesota again is a team that is not used to winning. You have a coach who's still a new coach. It's only his second season. You got a team. You got a bunch of guys that ain't been in the playoffs, and they didn't understand the urgency they needed to bring against a team that's fighting for their playoff lives, and they're still on the outside looking in. Donnell ain't getting a 5 minutes, and the Seahawks ain't making the playoffs. Let me be real clear on that. And I hope you're listening, Donnell. You ain't getting no damn 5 minutes because they ain't making the playoffs. So stay down in Atlanta and try to figure out what you're talking about basketball-wise so you come and talk about football. I had to say that, but I mean, the thing with Jimmy Graham is I think Jimmy Graham's injury helps Seattle, and I think had he gotten injured, say, 3 games ago, I think they would make the playoffs because they would have been able to go back to what they are. They just return to the team they're supposed to be, which is run first, run second, run third, and then let Russell bail us out on fourth down. You know what I'm saying? That was their formula for how many seasons? 3 seasons? 2 seasons? They've just gone back to the formula that's gotten them to the Super Bowl. So, you know, but I think it's a little bit too late for them. And Minnesota threw away a golden opportunity to take a stranglehold on the division. I don't think Minnesota wins the division, and they might mess around and not even make the playoffs.
Wow. Anybody else have something to say toward that before we get moving? Okay. The shock of the day for me, people, and at least for me, I feel like this is the shock of the day. The San Francisco 49ers go into Soldier Field and bring Gabbert Heath on 70 yards deep to end the game on the Chicago Bears. Now look, they are already talking about they will welcome. This is how people chew you up and spit you out in dog eat dog world. The San Francisco 49ers already talking about they will invite Colin Kaepernick back next season. Like they don't want to let him go, but he's not starting again. So is this the regime that they're comfortable or confident in Blaine Gabbert here on out? And two, does Kaepernick sit around this situation while this goes on with the quarterback, which I feel is not better than Kaepernick, but he's proving that he's to go out there and make things happen for this 49er team. And three, I mean, year after year, season after season. Year after year, season after season. It's like, what's wrong with Cutler? Like enough is enough. Like, they gave you $100 million, and you still struggle, especially being at home in a team that has to travel midway across the country to make this happen, and you still can't be productive. And Matt Forte has to save your tail all the time. All the time, what's wrong, Jay Cutler? I throw this around the kitchen, see how you guys feel about this one. Nas, I'll let you set it off first. Your thoughts on the walk-off with Blaine Gabbert and company.
In defense of Jay Cutler, this is the first game he's played badly in a while. So that was old Jay we got to see. And now you're just to the point to where you're like, we thought we were turning the corner. We brought in this OC guru to really help him. And it looks like he's always going to be the same old inconsistent Jay, so we have to think about other things. So, I mean, that's Jay Cutler in a nutshell, what we saw the other day. As far as Blaine Gabbert and the 49ers, think about your expectations for what you expected him to do in these last couple of starts for the season. So he's exceeded those expectations. Good job. They're a horrible team. They're rebuilding. They're trying to get the pieces in place. And if they march out Blaine Gabbert next year as the opening day starter, then they're still rebuilding, and they're still trying to do something else. But Blaine Gabbert, he made some plays, and that long pass you're talking about, that was a wonderful play, great play. Shout out to Blaine Gabbert for making it. All I want to ask you is, day one, you're the GM right now, do you put your job on Blaine Gabbert?
I don't, but this is the way San Francisco's looking at it. And that's the way that they're looking at it. I'm not looking at it like that. I'm looking at it like, look, they have basically put all their eggs in one basket. Blaine Gabbert is actually making it somewhat interesting to the end of the season for the Niners. Now, not to say that they'll run the table and end up going 8-8. They can. I mean, the opportunity is there. But I don't know. I mean, how do you guys feel about the situation, at least with the Niners, of being able to go on the road and get it done up against the Chicago Bears? And if I'm overselling the situation,
he is playing it right. When he's supposed to lose, he's winning. They don't want to be 8-8. They want a draft pick. Blaine Gabbert is supposed to be taking self sabotage, and he out here making plays. Like he can't get right, man. I ain't got that much.
Well, if the kicker doesn't for Chicago miss two cheapy kicks, that me and you, Ty, actually watched on the phone together. We watched it. I mean, if they even got a new kicker in Chicago yet, because he missed that one, and how he hooked it that bad, that short, blows my mind.
I'm gonna be fair to Robbie Gould, and I'm not just saying this because he is my fantasy kicker. I was in the middle of Soldier Field last year in December. Let me just tell you. right behind Soldier Field. I don't know if you guys ever been to Chicago, but right behind, I'm talking about directly behind Soldier Field, lays Lake Michigan. Lake Michigan is not a normal lake. Let me just tell you, it is huge. That thing kicks off wind like it's an ocean, and it looks like an ocean. So I don't know if the wind got behind that ball to pull it like that, or if it was just him naturally pulling that kick like that, but that's me giving him a little bit of leeway on that kick.
Yeah,
anybody
else
have anything?
To make that, though. He's a top-paid kicker. He's a good kicker. You know, he's expected to make that. That's been his legacy
first
there.
First of all, weather was not even a factor in that game, number one. Number two, Cutler drove this all the way down the field at the end and about the 10-yard line or about the 8. This dude, the kick was shorter than the extra point. And he shanked it. So, kicker blew the game. Okay, let's be blunt about it. Now, in regards to the Niners, they went to Blaine Gabbert by default. Okay, they didn't go to Blaine Gabbert because they were like, hey, we got some waiting in the wings. We didn't think he was ready, but hey, Gabbert is not getting it done. This is just as good a time as any to get the kids some experience. Let's see what he can do. That was not the mental process. Okay. And this whole idea of the Niners saying, oh, well, yeah, we might want to bring Kaepernick back. That's just to restructure his contract, to whittle all that stuff down. I think April 1st, he's due $11.6 million as a roster bonus. Something like that. So if he wants to come back and ownership goes, all right, we'll take you back, but here's what we got to do, restructure that contract. If he says okay, we'll make the deal. If he says no, we'll just cut him loose. We'll just cut bait and see what they can get in the draft. I can't permit this. He don't look too bad. It's not a catch up, but it don't look too bad. Kid from Memphis, who's huge. He looks kind of halfway decent to me, like 6'5", like Cam Newton size. You know, they're keeping their options open. That's all they're doing. And playing Gabbert has some future.
Hey, Ty, let me jump in here, Ty, because I got customers getting ready to call. Blaine Gabbert is not doing what he's supposed to do. They're supposed to be losing. Okay, he is ruining their plans because if they keep winning, then they're not going to have the draft pick that they want. Then nobody's going to trade for Colin Kaepernick. So they're either going to pay him his money if he's smart, he doesn't restructure his contract, because they're either going to pay him or they'll cut him because they can't trade him. No one's going to trade for Colin when they know the Niners have to cut him. And if Chip Kelly's still in the league, which I think he will be, then there's a spot for Colin Kaepernick in Philadelphia. Okay? Him, Johnny Manziel, and Robert Griffin III are all battling out to see who's the starting quarterback in Philly. But this Blaine Gabbert thing, I mean, come on, man. Stop. They were not supposed to be winning these games with him. And it would not surprise me if he suddenly developed a mystery injury and they went to the third straight quarterback, who's his backup now, for the rest of the season, but they do not want Blaine Gabbert winning games.
Yeah, I agree. The fix was in. And Kaepernick, like, this is a quarterback's market always. So you take the cut from San Fran, Philly may be open, St. Louis may be open, Houston may be open. There's so many slots, and it would be stupid to take a pay cut in the realm of $11 million, because y'all know, once you start taking pay cuts, people kind of see you in that fashion of payment. So his best bet is to get out there in that open market and go to somebody's camp and try to win a job and you know, secure a good contract. But, man, you got Nick Foles and some of these guys out here starting. Hey, man, it's wide open for him to go get a job somewhere else, and somebody else can see if they can fix Colin.
Yep.
Okay. Well, anybody else have anything else to say toward this? Because I do have to close up because we have a show after this. This is the last show for the Army Champions show, so I've got to give them their window before they get on air. But anybody have anything else that they'd like to say toward the Niners or the Bears, or we can save a lot of this for the cookout tomorrow?
All I'm going to say, Ty, is this. Since this is going to be the last week, really, that we're doing shows, we need to do a show on Wednesday.
They are kicking my tail, Sports City. They are kicking my tail. Listen to Nostradamus predict the future. Jeez. Okay, I need plugs and closeouts from each of you. Chill, I might as well let you go first because I know you got to run. So give me a plug, closeout, shout-out before we get out of the kitchen.
I apologize for missing the thing yesterday, man. I had to go to church, so, you know, had to do that. A lot of fun tonight, guys. Pat, good to hear you. Yeah, I got to go, and I'm going to say some closing. I want a show on Wednesday, Ty.
Okay. This is what I go through, Sports City. I got to tame animals in the kitchen. This is the worst part about it, man. You know what, Sports City? I'm going to give us a show. We'll do something before I get things cooking in my life out here. I'll see what I can do. I'll see what I can do. Well, y'all pay attention to every page that we got going on, and I'll let the boys know to come back to the kitchen because Chandler pushing me around. So we'll give you a treat before things start to break down here in the kitchen. Kat, I need a plug, close out, shout out from you before we shut down the doors here at the wrap up.
Good show. And the only thing I have to say is I want the Dallas Cowboys to win tonight because the NFC East is such a train wreck. It would only be apropos that they beat Washington and then they're only one game out of first place. And I'm gone.
I'm going to say this to you right now, Patrick. I told these people 4 weeks ago the Washington Redskins will win the NFC East, and I'm not a Kirk Cousins fan by any means. But this game right here might seal the deal. Or not even seal the deal, but put them up. Put them up. Not seal the deal. Not, it won't seal the deal, but it'll put them up where they need to be, at least at 500 for now, where everybody in the division, including the Redskins right now, are below 500. I'm tired of seeing divisions like this. I'm tired of it. Nas, I need a plug, close out, shout out.
Wouldn't it be something that was wrong?
Well, I mean, that's true. If somebody else can come and get it done. But I want to see the Redskins get it done, but I just feel bad about what they're doing with RG3. But I want to see RG3 go somewhere else to get it done now. I mean, they already made their bed. They got to sleep in it right now. Nas, I need a plug, close out, shout out, and we shut down the wrap up.
All right, my close out is the Clemson game, Coach Dabo Sweeney yelling at the punter repeatedly, touching the kid, and showing the ugly face of what college football actually is. I'm glad people got to see that because sometimes we get blinded by the pageantry and the idea of student athletes and all of that stuff. But you got to see the real ugly face of what college football is, which is a power dynamic where one guy has all the money, wealth, and power, and the actual people who produce the talent on the field are subject to their their aggression, whims, and mood swings. So you saw him wild out on the punter. Meanwhile, his quarterback made a bad decision, and Dabo just had a pat on the head and a smile for him. So you get to see it, the ugly side of college football come out when these coaches' emotions come out and they show who they really are. So, little finger to Dabo Sweeney.
Nas, I want to tell you like this. You and Tommy, and I consider you my brother, Nas, but I know Tommy's my brother also. Y'all are like blood. Like you and Tommy are blood. Tommy said this on the show yesterday, and he was giving you credence also shouting you out at everything. You come to the show today and literally verbatim what Tommy was saying. There is something about you two that I don't know where you two got it from, but I'm glad that these guys are putting it in the kitchen with Sports City. Tommy, I'm going to put you right behind Nas with that closeout that you put out yesterday. He put it right back in the kitchen today. We need a plug closeout shout out as we shut down the doors here at the wrap up.
Yeah, good show, everybody. Nas, thank you for backing that up. That's what I said because I believe it was garbage. I mean, there's no reason at all to show your punter up like that. There's no reason to show any of them players up. I mean, what about showing? How about when your defense gives up the score, you don't go out? How about you showing up the nickel or safety or whoever that gave up the touchdown? Yeah, the punter made a mistake. He should have punted the ball. But you know what? He tried to make a play just like everybody else did. It's ridiculous. Got the game on tonight, hopefully. I kind of like to see Washington win this. I don't know why. But maybe it is to make a better, happier DMV since my Ravens got screwed last night. But I wouldn't want to bring that up and have a certain someone come back and say that I was blaming the game on a bad officiating game. That was god-awful. But I won't go there. Ty, let's close this out.
SportsCityChef.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chef. We'll all be back here tomorrow. I know that, you know, my TV stars of Sports City, this will be the last show that they do with the kitchen. So I got to give them their window before we get out of here. So check out the Armed Champions show. They're on that TV show on AMC, Game of Arms, the arm wrestling, you know, show that they got going on. They've done work with us for 3 years. This is their last show. They'll have Ken Shamrock, who was on MMA and WWE. He'll be on the show as well. They got a lot of people coming through on the show after this with Sports City. Stay tuned in the next 20 minutes, man. We still got stuff going on in the kitchen, man. Outside of me, man, the six-year anniversary, we're still rocking, man. And we went on a good note, but we have a somber note with people leaving Sports City, but that's okay. It don't slow down here in the kitchen. I was going to say something else, but I won't say that. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chef again. And if they don't know, now they know.
One, two. Check me out right here, yo.
Yo, the sun don't shine forever, but as long as it's here, then we might as well shine together. Better now than never, business before pleasure. P. Diddy and the fam, who you know do it better. Yeah, right, no matter what, be airtight. So when you hear something, make sure you hear it right. Don't make an ass out of yourself by assuming our music keeps you moving. What are you proving? You know that I'm two levels above you, baby. Talk me, baby, I'ma make you love me, baby. Talking crazy ain't gonna get you nothing but choke. And that jealousy is only gonna leave you broke. So the only thing left now is God for these cats. And babe, you know you're too hard for these cats. I'ma win cause I'm too smart for these cats. While they making up flat.
In the commission, you ask for permission to hit him. He don't like me, him and wild wife, he was with him. You heard about the murderer, smooth shady. Been on the low lately, the feds hate me. The son of they say my killing's too blatant. You hesitating, I'm in your mama crib waiting. Not taping, your fam, destiny lays in my hands. Gat lays in my waist. Francis, M to the is H phenomenal. Gun rest under your vest, body abdominal. I'm a few bars so I can buy a few cars. Then I pick a few flows so I can pick a few holes. Excellence is my presence. Never tense, never hesitate. Leave a nigga bent, real quick, real sick. Wrong nights, I perform like Mike. Anyone, Tyson, Jordan, Jackson, action, bad gun. Ridiculous, and I'm quick to bust if my ends you touch. Kiss a girl you touch, in this world I clutch. Q-Auto, Matos, used to call me Fatso. Now you call me Castro, my rap flows. Militant, y'all faggots ain't killing shit. Oops, Chris Stout keeps spilling shit. You overdid it, homes. You in the danger zone. You shouldn't be alone. Hold hands and say it like me. The most shady. Frankie baby, fantastic. Graphic, try to make dough like Jurassic. Parked in, pick the spark kids who start shit.